Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Good evening, Razorback fans. Welcome to another episode of the Hog Talk Podcast, live from the Sterling Soap and Roastery Studios, part of the Believe in Buzz Radio Networks, where you can hear us on 106.7 in Central Arkansas. And all live shows are presented to you by Arkansas Brewing Company in downtown Ozark. I am Porter Hayes. Alongside me, as always, is Adam Hall. And we're also brought to you by Bet Online. Continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games. Available to play from right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. And we go now to the Meadows Lumber Hotline and bring in Chris Phillips, formerly Spurs Up Show, now SEC Unfiltered. Welcome to the show again, man. I appreciate you taking time after your regular show to come on and jump on with us.
Porter, Adam, appreciate you guys having me, man. Yeah, we're right in the heat of talking SEC baseball, and of course that includes the Arkansas Razorbacks, and what a fantastic club they've got this year. But I know we were talking off air. It's interesting how, you know, you got spring football, which of course just wrapped up, and Arkansas's got a fantastic baseball team. It looks like they're going to be Omaha bound, but we're still talking college basketball, and I guess that can happen when you hire a guy like John Calipari to really jumpstart your program. So I know the excitement for basketball is at a fever pitch in Fayetteville, which is a lot of fun. But, guys, appreciate you having me on.
So before we jump in, you know, you jump from a local, you know, South Carolina, which I gave you a bunch of shit about, you know, the last time you're on being a Clips guy. I really enjoyed that, but – you know, what made you jump into the big pond? I know you dabbled in it and was really starting to cover other teams, but what really made you go from just covering one team to really jumping into a SEC, you know, as a whole and covering the conference?
Yeah, Porter, it's a great question. And simply put, the opportunity to expand and grow as not just a content creator, but admittedly an entrepreneur and scale the business side of things. And, you know, you can still be a fan of somebody, right? Everybody is, whether it's you guys, it's Jake Crane, it's many others I know and I'm friends with in the national landscape, right? We all pull for somebody, but the opportunity to, you know, take that coverage and provide even more value to fans of the Southeastern Conference, and also scale, by the way. We've been able to, since the launch of SEC Unfiltered, to grow our team of contributors, right? We've got four or five other guys that are shooting video for us. So on the video side of content, podcast side of content, we've also now got a website in which we've added contributors. I think we're up to about 12 or 13 contributors, going to staff that out to about 30 or 35 by the time kickoff gets here. So, you know, there was entrepreneurial motivation. There was motivation from the standpoint, the content side of things. But really, that's what it comes down to, Porter. I mean, that was something where I was meditating on it for nearly 2 years. You know, it wasn't some decision that I made all of a sudden, woke up one morning, and the next day we just flipped things over, flipped the switch to SEC Unfiltered. It was always something, you know, my entrepreneurial journey I was open-minded to. And, you know, as the entrepreneurial, my goals and aspirations and dreams as an entrepreneur, they came more into focus. And, you know, it was something I wanted to execute on. And I felt really inspired by the fact that, you know, so many in Gamecock Nation had supported us and supported us being objective and being able to talk about just talk ball and talk about other teams and talk about other fan bases while also being a fan of a certain team. So saw that opportunity, man, just ran with it. And I can tell you, man, and I had a lot of fun with TSUS and, you know, met so many great people on the way, but I've never had so much fun as I'm having right now making content and talking about all 16 SEC teams. And this is just the beginning. So really, really excited to see where the future takes us. But, you know, it's I'm having a blast thus far, truly.
And let coming into Arkansas, you kind of touched on it just a tad bit. How crazy is it that you know, Arkansas, number two team in the country in baseball, and we're having you on pretty much to kind of talk about Calipari and the whole basketball scene. You know, how crazy is a team like number two, but yet we're still talking about basketball?
There are few guys that can move the needle like a John Calipari, right? It's one thing to go hire a new head coach after a tough season, especially, right? And so I'm not saying it wouldn't be a big deal, but John Calipari moves the needle differently, right? And what's so crazy is that, you know, there are other Arkansas folks that I feel like kind of predicted this a couple months ago with Eric Musselman, and you look at his previous stops, and he's only stayed at places for 3 or 4 years. He's a West Coast guy. Southern Cal job might come open. He might dip out and leave. And so that part, I don't know if that was really surprising, but John Calipari to Arkansas and the things that had to happen to make that a realistic option, to see that unfold. I mean, it's still almost kind of, I'm sure for you guys too, it's kind of surreal that it actually took place. And so I understand it. You know what I mean? I completely understand it. You know, I think Arkansas, and if folks are sleeping on the Hogs at this point as a passionate basketball fan base, you need to wake up, right? Because Bud Walton Arena, it's one of the most hostile environments in the game. And if you haven't seen that yet, I don't know where you've been. But, you know, I'm not totally stunned that Arkansas fans are fired the way they are. Again, you get a guy like John Calipari. You already see what he's been doing in the portal and recruiting. And I know we're talking, I think, immediately after Arkansas just added another big-time signing to the big-time prospect, if you will. So I understand the excitement, and certainly maybe it'll motivate Sam Pittman and the boys to kind of generate some of their own, because I know football is kind of this wait-and-see approach. And if I'm sitting there and I'm in the Arkansas football building, I'm like, hey, wait a minute. We're supposed to be the number one sport on campus. So who knows? Maybe that helps, you know, helps inspires those guys to get it rolling this year.
From your fan side of it, what was your initial reaction when you saw the breaking news?
I mean, dude, I was fired up for Arkansas. I mean, really, truly, I thought it was crazy. I mean, I was shocked. I'm not surprised that the Kentucky Calipari relationship came to an end necessarily. Like, I wasn't stunned at that, but to see him stay in the conference and go to an Arkansas, that was, I mean, I was stunned by that, really, truly. So, but I'm excited for Arkansas, really, truly. I'm excited to see what he can do at Fayetteville. And I mean, John Calipari is a winner, man. And I think it's a good thing for all parties involved. I think it's good for Kentucky. I think it's good for Cal. I think that situation got to be somewhat toxic, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's a new start, and we'll see what a change of scenery can do. But no, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, man.
How crazy is it that a fan base that was so ready for him to leave, yet Arkansas welcomed him? They're having a complete meltdown. I mean, I'm loving. And look, I'm not going to try to poke the bear again, but I brought it up when you know, Saban ran the NIL game and we've seen it. You know, they ran college football and got all the players they wanted. And soon he retires. Now he's going to Capitol Hill or whatever, trying to put a stop to NIL. Now you see people on the Kentucky side that are saying Cal can bring in all these NBA type guys and NIL this and that. Now he leaves for Arkansas. Now the Kentucky fan base wants to put a cap on NIL. It's just funny how these two fan bases have acted when they have something taken away from them. And especially on the Kentucky side that – they wanted him gone. Well, you should be happy, but, you know, there's few that have been in our mentions about, well, we were one of the ones that wanted him gone. But for the most part, they're just losing it.
Porter, if there's one thing that college sports fans and sports fans in general are, for the most part, it is hypocrites. And that goes for everybody. I'm not singling out anybody, because, I mean, go look at the timeline, and this could happen in any coaching search or any situation where when the guy is wearing – whatever colors it is, he sucks, he's a bum, he's trash. Then he becomes your guy, and, oh, he's the best thing ever. Right? I mean, it happens, or vice versa, right? So for Kentucky fans, and, yeah, seeing the fallout, it has this feeling of a very, like, a jaded ex situation, right? Mm-hmm. It's you want to win the breakup type of vibe, and I'll be curious to see what Kentucky basketball looks like now in this new area with Mark Pope taking over, which, what a crazy coaching search that was, by the way, and them swinging and missing on seemed like a couple of guys. But, no, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, it's that passion and energy that allows, you know, us to do what we do, whether it's talking Arkansas or Alabama or talking the entire SEC. it's really what allows us to do what we do. And it's been a lot of fun to watch for sure. I mean, it spreads too, not just fans, but you're seeing like media personalities, and you can, it's very easy to read between the lines and see like who's really butthurt. You know what I mean? Like that just stands out. And certainly some of those Kentucky folks they've been very tongue in cheek when wishing John Calipari well on his next venture. That's for sure.
I want to bring up this comment because people are saying, yeah, Saban has always been against NIL. Of course he has. When they started NIL, look what happened to the landscape of college football. That is exactly my point. You've been able to get all the players you've wanted for years. And now that NIL comes in, of course he's against. Dabo was against it. Dabo said, I'd never go to NIL. If they're going to pay players, I'm going to go. Why just go coach in the NFL? Mm-hmm. So, again, you see all this hypocrisy of people being against it. I mean, even Saban's wife was like, you know, why are we doing this anymore if they're getting paid so much? We're seeing it happen in the college landscape. I love it, but yet it's just funny to see those who have, now they have not, and they're the ones that are complaining the most about this NIL.
Yeah, when it's helping the other guy, it becomes way more difficult to support, I suppose. So I'm right there with you. I don't have a lot of sympathy for, you know, I think Saban's the GOAT for sure, but not a lot of sympathy when it comes to the NIL talks. And I think Dabo too, and especially when you see coaches up and leave and take whatever payday they want. You know, it's I know the transfer portal, NIL, we could spend an entire segment talking about opinions on that, but when you see coaches up and leave, that's when you're like, you know what, the portal, NIL, it can be annoying at times, but it's a necessary evil because, I mean, look what's happening. We got position coaches we got head coaches in G5 leaving their post to be a tight ends coach in the SEC. Like, I mean, so if they can do it, I mean, you know.
Well, so. And another aspect, we're looking at this league get bigger. We talk about this NIL stuff and transfer portal stuff, but we don't have 12 teams, 14 teams competing against you. You've got 16, and we don't even know if that's going to expand. So we think that this NIL is going to be doing that, but you got to get ahead of the curve because in 4 or 5 years, if we're sitting at a 2024 team super conference, NIL is not going to mean then what it does now because everybody's going to have anything they want when it comes to these super conferences.
And I mean, right now, Porter, I would say that, you know, speaking on NIL, it's really about speaking of the haves, the have nots. I mean, you better have your NIL in order. I mean, you for sure, because the teams that are winning, they're able to go out and get the best players. And what do you need to get the best players? You need some jingle in your pocket. I mean, it's bottom line, is what it is. So I'm curious to your point to see what it looks like. I mean, it's the best advantage that schools have right now, that if you're already in the SEC, good. You're a step ahead of the game, if not multiple steps, because there's a lot of teams that are knocking on the door that want in, that you're already in the fancy neighborhood, right? And all the houses are taken, right? At least at this moment. So I'm curious to see what the evolution looks like of the SEC and college football as a whole. But yeah, I mean, it's all about the almighty dollar at this point. And I mean, NIL just kind of rules all.
So how is, you know, you being out in South Carolina, how are the Gamecocks looking basketball-wise when it comes to transfer portal and such?
Yeah, they're doing well. I mean, I think there's a lot of excitement around the program with Lamont Paris over the last couple of days. Getting the commitment from Cam Scott, former Texas signee, was huge. They picked up another guy, I think the Missouri transfer, the 7-footer, former 4-star kid, former out of Greenville, South Carolina, got him to come back home. So, you know, the way that Lamont Paris, after the season they had, where they set multiple records, of course, and had, I think, the biggest turnaround ever, maybe in college basketball history, certainly in the school history. But the type of season they had, and you couple that with the recruiting, I mean, I think the optimism is sky high. I think they're doing well in recruiting. Or the big question with Lamont Paris and really any coach that takes that job is, can they keep that local in-state talent home? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to get a Cam Scott, who's from Lexington, South Carolina, again, signed his NLI with Texas, to get him to be released from that and come back, to get the 7-footer from Mizzou, who's from Greenville, South Carolina, to come back and go to South Carolina. Those wins are huge. I mean, it cannot be overstated how big those wins are. And so, you know, we'll see what the program looks like. I think they're going to have to continue to build in the portal. I think that's probably going to be a yearly thing until recruiting at the high school ranks gets to where they want. But, I mean, doubt Lamont Paris at your own peril, because what they did last year, I mean, nobody saw coming. Yeah. And I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch in the years to come under Lamont Paris.
perfect thing of getting hot at the right time. And one more basketball question before we jump over to the baseball is just, when are they going to put the statue for Don up? You know, look, I mean, the new UConn. Look, I mean, as a UConn guy behind me, 96, you know, all the way since I've loved UConn, I'm very impressed on what Don's done with that program, building a juggernaut. And just to seeing at the height of women's college basketball, South Carolina being at the forefront, of course, with Iowa, you know, beating Iowa in the championship. I mean, what is – just you talk about South Carolina. I've got close ties to South Carolina, but so much talent. So much talent in that state.
Yeah, that statue should be coming soon, no doubt. I mean, it will be. It will be, I think. I would not be surprised they didn't name the arena after or something. Yeah, I mean, what she's built, guys, is special. I mean, it's a machine. It's easy, you know, admittedly, to take it for granted because, you know, I tell people all the time, it's being a fan of South Carolina women's basketball. It's like being a fan of the Patriots when Tom Brady was the quarterback, where it's like, it's very easy to kind of just look over the regular season and say, okay, like our season doesn't begin until the playoffs. That's kind of how the Pats were at that point, because they were just so much better than everybody else. And, you know, the season was judged off of, okay, did you win the big game? Did you win your last game or did you not? And if you didn't, the season was a failure. Like, but that's the point they have gotten to. So, they're not going to go undefeated every year, certainly, but they're going to be right there in the Final Four national title mix every year with Dawn at the helm. And I mean, the way they're recruiting to lose what they lost, Porter, to reload the roster
of starters,
yeah. Right. And then come back and win it all and go undefeated. I mean, again, it really speaks to Dawn Staley and just how special a coach she is, how special of a person, and what they've built there is, I mean, it's a juggernaut, man. It's really, truly, you know, you talk to folks. Most people did not think there'd be another program like a Tennessee or a UConn to be the face of the sport, and South Carolina has become that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the important thing. You've seen Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark. You've seen individual faces, but to have a team like that, I mean, again, when you have Ashlyn Watkins sitting on the bench last year, we knew what she was. We knew what Full Wiley was. We knew the dog that she was. And, again, you bring in the transfer, I can't, Pow, was that her?
Yep.
You know, that and Kits, all everybody's coming back. I mean, you just, you lose Cardosa, I believe, is the only one you lose. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe that's the only departure. Yep.
That's completely insane.
Yeah, they're gonna be loaded next year, no doubt.
Yeah. It's just crazy. And again, you know, capping off the popularity of the women's side of things, it's good that, you know, after this year, it still keeps getting better and better through that. But what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk baseball. We're going to jump into your thoughts of Arkansas, SEC as a whole, and who you could see in Omaha. And we'll catch you right after the break.
Attention DIYers and home improvement enthusiasts. Are you searching for the right tools and the supplies to tackle your next project? Look no further than Menards Hardware Store. With locations in Ozark, Alma, and Clarksville, our vast selection of hardware and building materials is sure to have everything you need, whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or building a new deck. Plus, our knowledgeable staff is always on hand to offer expert advice and guidance. And with our competitive prices and convenient online ordering, Menards Hardware Store is your one-stop shop for all your DIY needs. Visit us today, and let's build something amazing together. Are you in need of legal representation? Look no further than the law offices of Robertson Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson. As the oldest law firm in the River Valley, we have been serving our clients for over 100 years, with locations in Ozark, Fort Smith, and Springfield. Our experienced team of attorneys provide expert guidance and advocacy in a wide range of legal areas, including personal injury, family law, criminal defense, and more. Trust in our history and experience to the results you deserve. Contact the law offices of Robertson Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson today at 479-782-8813. That's 479-782-8813. Are you looking for a place to grab a cold drink and some delicious food? Look no further than Arkansas Brewing Company. Located at 201 South 1st Street in beautiful downtown Ozark, our establishment offers a wide selection of craft beers and tasty eats. But what sets us apart is our welcoming atmosphere and friendly staff. At Arkansas Brewing Company, you'll always feel like part of the family. So visit Destiny and Christopher Brockett and staff today and see for yourself what makes us the go-to spot for locals and visitors alike. Arkansas Brewing Company, come for the drinks and stay for the friends. Searching for premium brewing products that will take your daily routine to the next level? Look no further than Sterling Soap Company. Our handmade soaps, aftershaves, and balms are made with only the finest ingredients that give you the ultimate grooming experience. With a variety of scents to choose from, there's something for everyone. Plus, our products are crafted in small batches to ensure the highest level of quality. So why wait? Visit www.sterlingsoap.com or visit our retail store at 16 West Walnut Street in Paris, Arkansas. Shop our collection and discover the difference for yourself. Upgrade your grooming routine with Sterling Soap Company.
And welcome back to the Hog Talk Podcast. And again, thanks, Chris, for staying on with us. And we'll jump right into the baseball. And of course, just Arkansas rolling. And I know before the season, everybody was talking about pitching concerns. And now we've seen some hitting concerns. Well, what is your overall thoughts on just how Arkansas, with all these questions, they've kind of lacked a little bit at the plate, but still sitting where they are top of the West? I mean, did that surprise you, or is that where you kind of seen Razorbacks this point in this season?
Yeah, Porter, not surprised at all. When you have the weekend rotation they have with Hagen Smith leading the way, he's just been, you know, if there's one guy in college baseball right now that we could all see on an opening day lineup next year, it's Hagen Smith. I mean, he's incredible. He's an automatic W, it seems. I think Arkansas, I read they're 10-0 in his starts. And then you've got Mason Molina there on the weekend as well. He's been fantastic. Brady Tigard. I mean, it's going to be really, really difficult. I know they've done it once, but it's going to be hard for anybody to beat them 2 out of 3 when you can trot out those type of arms. I think what Arkansas has proved this year as well that, I mean, you know, listen, and they've swung it okay. I know they're not an offensive juggernaut, but when you got those type of guys on the mound, defense still wins championships is what I was going to say. Like, you got those kind of guys. Great pitching still beats great hitting. Now, again, will they win a national championship? Not can they. Will they win a national title? I think a lot of that will be answered. Can they swing the sticks consistently enough to do that? But, I mean, their arms are going to keep them in every single ball game and win a lot of ball games, and I think take them very far. And, guys, Arkansas was certainly one of my picks to go to Omaha. So am I surprised to see them at 14-4 atop the SEC West? I am not. Again, they were my pick to win the SEC West. So, admittedly, guys, I'm not surprised at all. Now, there are surprises in the SEC. I know you didn't ask me about it, but it's not coming out of Fayetteville. It's coming out of Baton Rouge. It's coming out of Gainesville. It's coming out of Lexington, Kentucky, for both positive and negative reasons. But Arkansas, nah, 34-6 overall, 14-4 in the league. Not surprised at all. And again, I think the question now, guys, and what I felt from Arkansas fans, y'all can correct me if I'm wrong here, but the question was never, is this team going to be in this position? Everybody's just kind of holding their breath to see, is this finally going to be the year? Because that's the question we've been asking ourselves over and over and over again. But when you got the three-headed monster on the weekends that is that pitching staff, I like their chances a lot.
Coming into, I guess, May with the SEC tournament, what do you think would be, or what team do you think is going to be the biggest obstacle for Arkansas? Because I know, like, on our regular schedule, we have Kentucky coming up here in a couple weeks. So going into the SEC tournament, who's the biggest obstacle?
Yeah, Adam, I mean, I think Texas A&M certainly is right up there, a team that's taken over the number one ranking in the polls, and what Jim Schlossnagel has done. I mean, they're a fantastic club. You know, I think Tennessee is a team that I think of all the Omaha contenders, they are being talked about, I would probably say, the least, which is somewhat surprising, and I think Tony Vitello would probably prefer it be that way. But they take 2 or 3 from Kentucky. Kentucky still, because of the hot start they had of the year, they're still sitting number one in the East. But I love Kentucky's club. Christian Moore is getting red hot. Blake Burke in that lineup, they're a fantastic 1-2 punch there. So I would say Texas, A&M, and Tennessee are up there. But, I mean, here's the thing about that question, man, is that when you get to Hoover, who knows? I mean, it's a mini Omaha. And for anybody out there who's maybe tuned in, or for whatever reason, you never watched the SEC tournament, make sure you turn it on, because, again, it's literally the best baseball you're going to see. We are planning on being there in Hoover, so any Arkansas folks would love to run into you and watch the Hogs. Obviously, we'll be getting a glimpse at those guys. But, no, it's going to be a ton of fun, man, for sure. I mean, I like Arkansas's chances, but admittedly, guys, I'm sure y'all would agree, the SEC tournament's a great thing. I'm not saying it's not, but it's not really built for a team like Arkansas, who's already got their ticket punched. It's built for a team like a South Carolina right now who's at 500. It's built for a Mississippi State, an Ole Miss right now, a Florida at 8-10, even like a Missouri at 6-12, right? It's built for those teams to punch their postseason ticket. For a team like Arkansas, I'll be curious what the approach is from them because, you know, while it may cause disdain within the fan base, winning or losing the tournament is not a big deal. It's really not. I mean, we've seen many a teams that won it all that lost in the regionals for whatever reason or didn't make it to Omaha. We've seen many that went 2-Q and their pitching was fresh as could be and they won the national titles. I mean, it's not a perfect science and for sure.
We look at the, you know, SEC tournament in basketball and baseball. You got a number one seed locked up in basketball. Yeah. And if you have a regional top eight bid where you know you're going to be hosting a regional and super, it really doesn't matter. And you throw in that too. If you're sitting on that 8-9 bubble of your national bid, that SEC tournament and winning that could bump you and elevate you to that eight where you're now hosting both. So that'd be the only time where you really look at, and coaches have admitted without admitting that the SEC tournament in that aspect doesn't mean what it does. But I really wanted to ask your point. You're talking about Hagan Smith and the effect he's had. We've seen LSU do it. And then this recently with South Carolina, guys are pitching their number one starter in game two. And I don't know if it's in a way of just saying, hey, look, we can't beat Hagan Smith. But from your aspect of it, what do you think when you see some top two programs sitting there saying, hey, we're going to pitch our number one guy game two?
I disagree with the move. I think it's stupid, to be honest with you. I don't know how else to put it. I've always been a believer you throw your best available when available and you do everything you can to win that ball game in that moment. I don't believe it in the postseason. I don't think you save guys. I think you throw your best available. And so, you know, I think it sends the wrong message. I'm sure these guys are able to convey a different message to their ball club in the locker room, but the message that I think it sends is that we are conceding game one. That's what we are hoping to win two. This one is not going to be one of those two. And so, you know, I think it's from the South Carolina perspective, I think it's a shame you take the ball to Eli Jones' hand. He's been fantastic this year. And I think if there's anybody on that roster and in that pitching staff that was going to give them a chance to win game one, it was Eli Jones. Now, the pitching wasn't a problem. You lost that game 2-1, but still my point stands. I mean, still my point stands, really, truly. So, I don't agree with it. You know, each coach, I mean, listen, they're getting paid the big bucks to be a skipper at that level. And I'm just a guy here behind the microphone talking to you guys. So I guess my opinion is it is what it is, but I don't agree with the methodology. And, I think certainly to your point, man, I think it's a compliment to Hagan Smith, a compliment to Arkansas, how good they've been in game ones that maybe teams are looking at and saying, you know what, we'll roll our dice with our number two, who's still really good, but let's save our one. Let's try to lock down that game two and then game three, anything can happen. But good luck. I mean, good luck against Arkansas because it's not like there's this huge drop-off, right? Most teams, they've got hella questions in game three, their game three starter. When you got a guy like Brady Tiger, you got a Mason Molina. I mean, Mason Molina was the Friday guy at Texas Tech. He is the Saturday or the Sunday guy at Arkansas. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand what you think you gain. And again, I know for the Gamecocks, they won game two, but Mason Molina, he was very uncharacteristically wild in that game, had 7 walks. And again, Arkansas, of course, still found a way to win the series. But again, long story short, I don't agree with it. I've never been one. I think you throw your best available when available. You do everything you can to win the ball game in front of you.
I agree. And the one of the game most superstitious games, you're sitting there going away from your start.
And a game that's all, you know, especially these pitchers, they're creatures of habit. And so to get out of that routine, and if the series was like Thursday through Saturday, then maybe I'd get it. But, I mean, you got a normal Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. I know the weather affected the Sunday, so you had a doubleheader. But, I mean, you got your normal Friday night game, and you're not even giving your guy who is supposed to be your Friday night starter, like, that game is why he came to a place like South Carolina, to go toe-to-toe with Hagan Smith. And you are literally taking the ball out of the kid's hand. So I don't agree. I'd be livid if I was in the Jones circle. I'll tell you that right now.
And last thing we got on baseball, Adam's got a guy, he's got a football question for you, but we'll wrap up the baseball talk with just how many SEC teams could you see in Omaha this year?
That's a great question, Porter. I think before the season, I think I had four. I think I had four and I had Texas. So, you know, if you count them, they're not there yet, but would have been five. But I had four SEC teams. Right now, you know, that's interesting. I haven't done like updated Omaha projections. You know, I think at least two, I think three. I'd probably say three. Like if you're asking me right now, how many SEC teams do I think make it? I'll say three right now. I don't think more than three. I do not think more than three. Because I tell you this, man, the SEC is the best conference in college baseball. It's not even close. Like that is a given. But the sport of college baseball as a whole, like it's getting a lot more competitive. Yeah. Like there are a lot of great programs, a lot of these SEC teams that have messed around. I say messed around this season, but that have been beat up on. Unfortunately, guys, they're going to have to go on the road and take on some of these, you know, a lot of the postseason's matchups. It really is. So, you know, I think there's a couple of SEC teams in there that if they get into certain regionals as two or three seeds, they could cause some hell. But, you know, I think three is a good number. Maybe four, but I'd probably go three SEC teams. And right now I'd be looking at the likes of Arkansas, Texas A&M, and probably either a Tennessee or a Kentucky.
So, yeah, switching gears to football, I know a lot of fans typically write off players once they leave their schools that they'd been with for, you know, two, three, 4 years. But just a quick update on how Rocket Sanders is doing out there.
Well, I would say, Adam, from what I've heard, he's just trying to get healthy. They feel very optimistic about him. You know, obviously, I went as far as to say, you know, I had our good friend J.C. Sherbert on the show from the Big Spur, who does a great job with them. He went as far to say that they feel that they can get 80% healthy Rocket Sanders. He will be a 1,000-yard rusher. Like, they think he's that good and that capable. And, of course, you guys would know just how good of a player he is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, you know, all signs point to, and you're not gonna ask a guy like that who's that proven to, hey, do what you got to do to get through spring, and even if you're 90%, like, they held him out for a reason. But, you know, and I would say this, guys, from the Arkansas folks I have talked to, and it sounds like, you're asking me that question for a reason. Like, what is his health going to be like? I mean, he was banged up all of last year. He put on some weight. Like, what kind of shape's he going to be in? So, assuming all that gets taken care of, guys, from what I've heard, Rocket Sanders has been a great addition to South Carolina football in the locker room. They're excited to have him. They believe in what he can be and that he'll do big things. But anytime you got a guy who's recovering like that, it's something that's been lingering for a little bit. It's definitely something to keep an eye on, but he's going to get every opportunity. I think you look at their offense, what you saw in the spring game, Lenoris Sellers, they're going to be running the football a lot. I think the passing game might be a question early on for them, so they're going to lean on that running game. Certainly, they're going to lean on Rocket Sanders. They're counting on him in a big way to be their top ball carrier. And I mean, again, sounds like they're excited, and they think that it's going to work out. But again, guys just got to get healthy.
And it seems like there's been a lot of connections between Arkansas and I come on your show, you know, we talked about Dow, you know, Loggins, and there was a lot of mixed emotions about him, you know, going to South Carolina. But I really wanted to ask you about Step. You know, were you surprised to see him depart and go to Illinois? Because, I mean, him being a South Carolina guy, and especially being in that wide receiver group where you thought that was going to shine, was that one of your big surprises that you've seen him leave for Illinois?
Yeah, Porter, I was surprised. I'll tell you this. I was surprised to see him get demoted. I was not surprised that once he was demoted that he left. And I can tell you this, that, and I don't think he'll mind me saying this, but he was pissed. I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. Steph and I were we had a really tight relationship when he was in Columbia, and we talked about this, and he was pissed. I mean, he was upset. You know, a guy that coached a pair of all SEC wide receivers, and, you know, you know, he got demoted for James Coley, who about a week later had a cup of coffee in Columbia and went to Georgia. So a situation that certainly backfired on Shane Beamer. I mean, there's no other way to put it. So, you know, just listen, the wide receiver position had been imperfect at South Carolina during his tenure. There was a lot of gripes about development of certain players. And I mean, admittedly, like, there were some young guys in that roster that I think they either missed on recruiting or did not develop or come along the way that some folks had hoped. But again, guy took Juice Wells and made him an all-SEC wide receiver. He took Xavier Leggett, did what he did with him last year. So they had had a stretch of success. So for him to no longer be affiliated with Gamecocks football, Porter, you know, at first glance, yes, it is very surprising. Knowing the context of it, the way he was demoted sort of out of the blue for a guy who then, I don't want to say stabbed South Carolina in the back, but just up and kind of left when a better opportunity came along, I'm not surprised that Justin Stepp, I was happy to see Justin Stepp go out and get what he deserved and get what he was worth, and that was being a wide receivers coach somewhere. And I know it's the Big Ten, and it's a little bit colder up in Illinois than it is in South Carolina, but I guess it gets pretty cold in Fayetteville too, so I guess maybe he's used to that. But, I mean, I'm happy for Stepp. I think he's happy in the situation, and, yeah, the entire situation surprised me up until it didn't, put it that way.
Well, man, I appreciate you coming on and talking. Let everybody know who's not following SEC Unfiltered where they can get your content, go on your daily shows, and just let them know where you can find you.
Yeah, Porter Adam, I appreciate you guys. We're all across social media at SEC Unfiltered, whether that's X, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Wherever you get your content, we're there. We're also on YouTube, SEC Unfiltered. Check us out there. We drop daily videos. We do live streams as well. Our website, secunfiltered.com, for the latest from us, all of our written content, of course. Wherever you get your podcasts as well, you can find us, again, SEC Unfiltered. And I want to say thank you, by the way, Porter and Adam, to all of the Arkansas folks, because I tell you, we have gotten a very, very warm reception on all of our Arkansas content. All the Arkansas fans have been showing out. It's some of our most viewed content here early on in the history of SEC Unfiltered. Hogs fans are passionate, and we love to see the passion. And really excited to get down to Fayetteville and interact with some Hog fans one-on-one and interact in person and kind of take in a game day, because I've never been. So looking forward to it. But really want to say thank you to the Arkansas faithful, man, for running up the numbers and you know, driving up the engagement. It's been a lot of fun interacting with all the new followers that are Arkansas fans.
Well, appreciate you. You come to Fayetteville, Catfish Hole, Wright's Barbecue.
Let's do it.
Appreciate you, man. We'll meet up, man.
Yeah. Porter Adam, I appreciate you guys.
Yes, thank you.
Again, thanks, Chris Phillips, for joining us, SEC Unfiltered. And good SEC insight. You know, what is the SEC thinking about this move when we talk about Cal? Looking at the baseball, just how Arkansas is respected. We've seen and switching back to baseball for a moment, we're seeing the respect from other teams that Arkansas is getting when it comes to Hagan Smith. And it's almost like what we see with Kevin Copps. But for people to pitch their number one guy on day two, you're really just almost damn near waving the white flag.
Well, you know, it raised some questions kind of like, what the hell, when LSU did it, and then, you know, it didn't work out. And then to see South Carolina do it, I was just like, did they not watch what's happened before when this has happened? And, you know, I just, you know, like you said, I don't see why you're not going ace for ace. You're just completely giving yourself the L for that game, in my opinion, or you're just hoping for something to happen that's not yet happened when, you know, Hagan Smith come out to get beat. But, you know, I think I saw today that on one of the mock drafts is they had Hagan Smith going like number six to Kansas City Royals, which I know that would please a lot of fans in this area, which I'm not a Royals fan, but, you know, it's one of those things that keep them close. You'd have a lot of traveling Hogs fans.
Yeah, and I think they've been, you know, South Carolina, LSU, they've been listening to a lot of the Razorback fans have been complaining about the hitting. So they're like, hey, let's throw a number one guy, game two, and then they ended up scoring, you know, nine runs in game three. Bats woke up, you know, and I know that there's a lot of talk about the bats and the bats, but I mean, again, you are playing in the SEC. We knew that the pitching would get tougher. And when you're talking about the transfer portal and you're getting, again, look at Molina. He just said it. You know, he was the Friday guy at Texas Tech. Now he's the Sunday guy. So we know other schools are going to be that way. And you're seeing teams like Texas A&M ramp up, Kentucky ramp up. On top of your LSU's, South Carolina's, Tennessee's, Ole Miss's, you know, the SEC's just going to get tougher and tougher. And as long as you're winning games, yes, we're so used to it coming back and bite us in the butt, but you're sitting at 34-6. One game, you lose one game overall at home. Yeah. You know, they're sitting pretty right now.
Definitely. And I know there was a lot of frustration this weekend, and there has been in the past too around hitting and Nate Thompson and, you know, there was a lot more, especially game two, people calling for, like, you know, Nate Thompson's job while he's here. One thing I will not do to any of the coaches, but especially Dave Van Horn, is question any of his decisions.
Yeah.
Because I think he's proven that he knows what he's doing when it comes to players, staff, et cetera. So, you know, that's one thing that I don't think you do, and it's question Dave Van Horn's decisions.
My thing is this, when you have the technology that you have the coaching staff, you have the facilities that you have, it's hard to, for me to put that on coaching. If guys are struggling at the plate, they're struggling at the plate. It happens to the best of them. We really got to look at a Hall of Fame baseball player hits 300 in a career at 30% of the time. But I just think a lot of it's just trying to pick up on these guys' tendencies, trying to really you're overthinking because you're worried about spin rate. You're looking at what does this guy throw on 1-2 count? What's he usually throw on an 0-2 count? You know, there's a lot of thought that goes into what a guy – you're trying to predict what a guy's going to throw on a certain count opposed to getting up there and hitting the ball. And that's tough. I mean, it really is tough because you're having to think about all these things and then a split-second notice. You know, is this guy going to try to come with a back door? Is he going to come high in? Is he going to go low and away? I think a lot of that has to do with this, and because, again, you have all this technology thrown in your face of, we see what this guy can do on this count. Again, the hitters go up there and they're having to really think about this. And I think that has a lot to do with the play into some of these struggles. They're really just trying to get settled in and go after these hitters.
Yeah. And I mean, there's over analytics, in my opinion, in all sports, you know, especially basketball too. And it's, you know, when a hitter's in a slump, kind of the same thing when a shooter's in a slump, you've got to let them keep shooting. You've got to keep letting them go for it and not just sit here and dive into, oh, put them on the bench or this, all the stats and analysis, and just let them go. They'll eventually get out of it.
Yeah. And I'm bringing up this comment because it brings up a good point, because it says with less than 29 seconds, when you're sitting there trying to predict a guy what he's going to throw when he's being rushed, what you're thinking he might throw might be totally different because of that. Now you've got 29 seconds to set and think about your pitch, get a call, and then throw. I mean, it's just a bunch of guesswork, and we're seeing that sometimes it doesn't work, and then you turn around and you get a right read on the right pitcher. We know what can happen.
Oh, yeah, and that pitch clock especially and everything, like I'm sitting there watching it because, you know, you see it on the backstop, and I'm sitting there watching pitchers trying to, like, even as a fan myself, see tendencies. When did these different pitchers, like, when do they finally pitch? Where in the pitch clock are they? How quickly are they doing it? Are they second-guessing themselves? Then I start looking at pitchers that go further into the, okay, they're under 10 seconds. They're overthinking this. So then I start overanalyzing it as a fan, and it's just it becomes too much to where you just kind of have to step back and just – so you know that the pitchers and hitters, it's, you know, they've got a hell of a lot more going through their head.
Yeah, and, you know, they're playing right now against UAPB. I do not have a score update on that.
That's tomorrow, isn't it?
Tomorrow. I thought it was today. Shoot, again, I get my days mixed up. I thought it was today. No. They play tomorrow against UAPB, and they have Florida coming up this weekend. But Florida –
and everybody, that game will be on SEC Network, and it is in – or SEC Network Plus.
There we go.
And it is Little Rock. So that's a shocker there.
Yeah, but this Florida series coming up, Florida sitting at 8-10 in the conference, not the Florida that we're used to seeing. And again, South Carolina sitting at 9-9, Florida 8-10, Vanderbilt 10-8. You know, you got Kentucky; they're that constant. They're, you know, they're quiet. I didn't realize they're sitting at, you know, 33-7 overall, 26-2 at home. I mean, that's one of them we keep on talking about, Arkansas, A&M, and Kentucky, but here is Tennessee sitting right there in the two spot in the East. That just shows you that, you know, what happened last year to Tennessee, you know, they're locked and loaded and ready to go.
They are. And even especially early in the season, I know there was a lot of it came from the Arkansas fan base, but I think Tennessee had some lopsided losses early on, but they've gotten it together and found their spot. And I honestly didn't expect to see them at the number four seed, you know, or four in the rankings this early on. I didn't expect to see it just by the way they looked early in the season.
And you got Arkansas and Texas A&M sitting atop, you know, fighting for that number one position. And the only thing that I see that separates them, A&M's got one more loss than Arkansas, but they have a perfect record in a neutral site, 3-0 neutral. Arkansas's 2-1. It's like that's the dividing factor between Texas A&M being because, well, they're 35-5 overall. Arkansas is 34-6 overall. And they both have only one home loss, four road losses. So, again, that one neutral site loss that Arkansas has is the deciding factor of why Arkansas is below A&M. And I know a lot has to do with that loss against Alabama. But, you know, anything can happen. There's still a lot of season left when it comes to overall between regular season, SEC tournament, and then you have your regional, super regionals. But Chris nailed it. You know, Omaha, just the schedule of SEC tournament, then you got regional, super regional. Then you got to get your pitching going for Omaha. That's the hardest to me national championship to really win because you have to have all your guys firing on all cylinders and then really work your rotation and hope that everything works perfect. Because if they start hitting your batters and or start hitting your pitchers and you're going to the bullpen early, it just really takes everything off its axis. And then you're trying to put everything back together.
Yeah, because we've seen it in the past, you know, going through our bullpen and then, you know, you end up having to pitch Kevin Copps as a starter in a game and that just implodes on you. And it's one of those that if we are going to struggle, knock on wood, you'd rather it happen now and get things together before you start heading into postseason. Work out your kinks and just get it rolling. Coming, you know, you don't have to win in Hoover. Obviously, you'd like to win everything, but at the same time, just get the things you need buttoned up now before you get there.
Yeah, I say go. If you win, you win, but don't overpitch your pitchers. Don't set yourself up to hurt yourself in regionals and supers, and of course, getting yourself to Omaha. I mean, you, barring everything works out the way it is the regular season, you're going to have either a number one or number two seed locked up overall. So you're going to host, you're going to get a 16 seed or a 15 seed, whatever, when it comes to your regional and then your super regional, whoever wins out of those, you know, you're set up for a very good draw. But, you know what has happened to you in regionals. You know what's happened to you in supers. You know to expect that you're going to probably catch a team that's, look at TCU. You know, catch a team that was hot, North Carolina State. Someone that figured out your pitching. And I think I touched on it last week when we were talking about people pitching their number one guys game two. I mean, North Carolina State did that. And it worked for them that one time when they just let game one go. And they said, we're going to switch up our pitching rotation and mix things up. And it got Arkansas in the end. But, you know, it's time. I think Dave Van Horn, it's time for him to get a national championship. It's time for Arkansas to get another national championship. A fan base that is so passionate on all their sports, they're due. They're due a national championship.
I want to circle back to a comment in here. Okay. You know, why are we talking about the has-beens? I'm assuming me bringing up Rocket.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that, like I said, whenever I asked the question, I know that a lot of fans write off players when they transfer out, but there's still a lot of fans that still want to keep up with those players that had left, that still appreciate what those players did for the school and the programs that they played for. So I personally don't sit here and shit on those players.
Yep.
I want to know how they're doing. I keep up with them. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that do as well. So it's one of those things. I'm not going to shy away from posting about a former player or asking questions about a former player just so that more people are informed about how they're doing. It's a fact of life. Well,
and let's be real. Let's go to the other flip side of it. We're praising a guy from Kentucky coming to Arkansas. As that not kind of the same thing? If we're praising about this guy, you're praising, and I'm not saying this in any disrespect to Big Z. I'm just relating it. You're sitting there celebrating someone else's has been. So, I mean, it's one of them guys. He's a South Carolina guy. Does the SEC. Rocket went to South Carolina. Kind of, you know, put two and two together. It's not that hard of why we asked him how Rocket doing, Dow, Step. A lot of Arkansas, South Carolina connections with that one. But, you know, going into that Kentucky Cal, getting Knox. I mean, everybody's been talking about, you know, being patient and look what Musselman. And again, we're talking about a has-been when it comes to former coach. And Musselman's so quick to form this roster and get all these guys. Cal had one commit. Now he gets another one today. I mm-hmm. see the dominoes starting to fall. And you'd brought up something that I want you to touch on again of why you think that it's kind of taking as long as it is mm-hmm. to kind of get some of these guys to commit.
So, you know, we look at a few different things when it comes to transfer portal. You know, we know that Mus reached out to anybody and everybody. And I don't mean that like actual, but, you know, there had been reported that he had reached out to 40 players by the time Calipari had reached out to 10. And I think that Cal is much more selective in that process. Cal also banks on his recruiting classes coming in. So he is worried about getting those 4 to 5 freshmen on campus. That is where he is going to. That is what he is banking on. Then he will fill in spots around that. Also, something that needs to be looked at, and it's a question that was asked to me earlier, and I hadn't thought much about, but 100% agree with, the NCAA has to release these players from their national letters of intent from the schools that they were committed to already. One of the things that allows that release is a head coaching change. So those players then have to file with the NCAA to get out of the letters of intent. The NCAA has been dragging their feet on releasing these players. So it's one of those that he can talk to all these players, but they announced that they're decommitting from a school. That doesn't mean that it happened right then and there because paperwork yeah. still has to be filed. They just put it out there that their intent to decommit. So then there's a waiting period for the NCAA to grant the release before they can announce that they're committing somewhere else. So there's a whole hangup with the NCAA on this that I think is causing some of the delays with these high school guys being able to commit elsewhere.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that when it comes to, you know, what's going on with that side of it. And you know, I want to bring something else to the table and something that I've touched on in years past, but I haven't really, you know, talked about it in a bit because, of course, you know, we're just used to Musselman getting all these guys in through the portal. But, you know, there's a guy right here who loves making edits and loves making these clips. Guys, we're in an era now where these guys want to do a recruiting trip. They want to do another, you know, another recruiting visit. They want to do another round. They want somebody to do their video. They want to do somebody to do their graphics. They want to wait on a certain day. If they have two or three buddies that are going to go to another school, they're going to let them commit and get their shot. Then they're going to do theirs. I mean, there's so much that goes into why haven't they committed yet? Well, they're waiting on one to make the right choice. Then they're want to have somebody come in and do the edit. They're wanting to do get their graphics. That's where we are. We have to accept that. So they could know a week before time or they can know the day before time, but we're looking at a guy who doesn't have to go get mid majors. They don't have to get X players. They don't have to go try to get everybody that's in the portal. This guy, mm-hmm. Sorry, he's a Hall of Fame coach. Mm-hmm. He don't have to go into every living room mm-hmm. and talk to them. He don't have to go to try to reach out to get everybody. He's Coach Cal. And we've seen by the reaction of him coming to Arkansas. So, again, like I said last week, let him cook. He's sitting there slow cooking. He knows what he's doing. I know everybody's used to the way Musk done things and just grabbing everybody, trying to hope, you know, maybe throw that piece of pie together. But fully trust in what Cal's doing with this roster.
Oh, yeah. And I think a big difference right now, too, is you're coming – you've got a new head coach that's coming in, new staff, new players, et cetera. Things are a bit more tight-lipped right now also versus how it was before because, you know, 4 or 5 years in, you develop relationships with people attached to the program. Things are different. It's a new guy. He's keeping things more, you know, like I said, tight-lipped, close to his heart. Not that many people know what's going on. You know, it's one of those things that just so that there's stuff for us to put out. I've got 6 different commitment graphics made up just waiting for some of these players because I think that probably 3 to 4 of those are going to be committed here. That's just personal opinion. So, but it's being prepared for this because we truly don't know. But Carter Knox, you know, committing today is basically, I'm not going to say the first domino because I'll count Big Z is finally getting, you know, a transfer in. But this is a first domino of this high school recruiting class that has now fallen that, all right, let's get this going.
Another thing. We're in a new era that Arkansas has never seen one of this NIL game. And having 5, 6, 7, how many ever millions of dollars we're really talking about. There's a lot of paperwork that goes into this. We don't know what player's getting what, and okay, is it he, you know, the lot of, you know, look, these are legitimate binding contracts that these players are signing. They're getting this money. And so if now lawyers are getting involved, you're not just having negotiations between a coach and a player. Now you've got flagship, you've got edge, you've got an agent or, you've got people. There's so many moving parts now. It's not just as easy as go talk to this kid. Hey, we're going to give you this. Come play with us. Now, well, hey, how much of that money I'm going to get? Because don't think for a second these kids aren't coming to Arkansas thinking, how much of that $6 million am I getting? Let's just throw that out there. How much of that six, how much of that bag am I getting? Rightfully so. Hey, we know what's going on. They wouldn't have promoted that bag if they knew these kids weren't going to ask for a bag. Now they're going to get one. So, let's be patient when it comes to all these logistics that are coming with the money because there's a lot more money. There's more money coming in this year, reportedly, than Arkansas's got overall in the NIL game beforehand. So, this is new for the edge. This is new for their bank account.
Well, and we've seen, too, since it came out with the 5, 6 billion or whatever the number is for NIL for Arkansas basketball. We've seen different headlines that have come out that almost make it sound like we've got schools one up in us in a sense. And I'm going to use Memphis as my example here because I saw the headline posted everywhere, posted in several different groups, people asking questions on it, essentially like, oh, how is Arkansas going to respond to this? So the owner or whoever of FedEx offered up $25 million to Memphis Athletics. People see, oh, the Memphis Tigers are getting $25 million. Arkansas is only getting $5 million. Well, if people would read past a headline, he offered up $5 million a year for 5 years to all sports to divvy out. It's not like one program getting $5 million like Arkansas basketball is getting. So you're starting to see that we're seeing headlines to throw out there all because of what Arkansas is doing just in basketball. And, you know, that's just the way things are now. It's money talks, and we've seen that. Because I think what was the figure for Ohio State overall, like $33 million? For coaching staff, NIL, and assistant. I mean, that's just insane numbers, all to lose to Michigan.
Well, and let's be real. Well, let's look at what conference Memphis is in. Okay, yeah, we can do this. Okay, they're playing Tulsa, SMU, Texas San Antonio, Wichita State, South Florida, Tulane, UAB, Rice, Wichita. Who's going to go for that? Why would you do that when you can go play in the SEC, go play against big boys every day, and more money.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, I mean, I understand. Look, you got Penny there. You got Memphis is a program. Let's not, I'm not going to sit here and act like they're not a program, but to sit there and try to compete with what Arkansas is doing. Now you got one guy, you got FedEx. Okay, cool. We mm-hmm. got JB Hunt. We got Tyson. We got Walmart. You know, we got Stevens. Then if you want to go to tier two, I mean, you still got Jones Trucking Lines. You still got, you know, the Georgia's Chicken. You still, or Georgia's Turkeys or Chicken. I can't remember which one bird they produce, but you know, it's, you could go on down the line, and then you're not, you know, getting Stevens out of Little Rock, but there's the Murphy down in El Dorado. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of people with money in the state of Arkansas. If you want to go bat, tit for tat, you want to go bag for bag, you don't want to compete with Arkansas when it comes to money. You're not mm-hmm. going to win.
And something I'd like to see in basketball, which, you know, we didn't see under Musselman, and this has nothing to do with money, but you bringing up Penny and me bringing up Memphis. Yep. I want to see year in and year out Arkansas and Memphis play in basketball in the non-conference. Make it a home and home. Make it in Little Rock if you want yeah. to put a game in Little Rock.
Yeah.
But that game needs to come back year after year. There's no reason that it went away. I mean, that rivalry needs to come back.
And then you put all of Memphis players in pennies, the penny shoes and Memphis State jerseys. I'm just saying. I mean, that would be amazing to see. Kick Bass Pro Shops out for a little bit. Open up the pyramid again. Let's just go Barnhill Arena pyramid. Bring it back. You know, I think that would be, you know. But yes, I agree with the whole back being real. Back to that subject. Yes, put that thing in Little Rock. Even mm-hmm. put that thing in Bud Walton Arena. I think honestly, even in Bud Walton Arena, it would draw a sellout crowd. Because look, mm-hmm. if Cal assembles this thing like we think he's going to assemble, it's going to be bananas. It's going to be nuts. And there might be people in Barnhill, but yet they might have housed people in Bud Walton, but they might be have to sit people in Barnhill Arena and then broadcast the game. I mean, yeah. You never know. You never know how big this thing's going to get.
No. And it's one of those things that I know we want to see it, you know, early. We'd like to see it now. But we're going to see, you know, I know we got a glimpse of it with the 22 recruiting class with, you know, Nick Smith Jr., Jordan Walsh, that whole bunch. But we're about to see recruiting classes like we've never seen before, year after year, that you're number one, number two, number three. And not just that in that top three spot. I'm talking about the quality of recruits and their, you know, rankings throughout 24/7 Rivals, et cetera. Because I know if you go on like 24/7, I think Arkansas's all-time top recruit is technically Al Jefferson, who never played at Arkansas because he went straight to the NBA. Mm-hmm. And then either two or three is Nick Smith Jr. So I think that's something you're going to see guys up there that you wouldn't have thought a year ago would be looking. I mean, even looking at today, in 2025, Cal's already offered the number one recruit in the nation. And to actually sit there and know that we have a legitimate chance at a player at that caliber, that he's even, you know, posting that he got the offer, you know, that's something we hadn't seen before, but that's where we're at now.
We saw a little glimpse of it with Musselman. You know, we had Black, Smith, Walsh, you know, but just imagine having something like the Fab Five, like what Michigan had back in the day with that, having a team like UNLV, having a team like Todd Day and them, again, having a team like Corliss and Scotty again, you know, having five guys that, you know, they're going out there. Good luck trying to beat them. That mm-hmm. is Arkansas that I can't wait to get back to. It's we know we have the talent, but yet I can't wait for the day they put a team of five out on that floor and people fear them like they used to. When they're getting, again, you put them out on the floor and they're like, try to beat us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
And I think we've seen a lot, especially over the last couple of weeks, from Kentucky fans on the taking shots at Calipari for get knocked out by a 14 seed or this and that. And I think we're all under the same, when I say all Arkansas fans, we're all under the same umbrella here that he needed a rejuvenation. And I think he's going to get that here. So I think we're going to be looking at, you know, 2009 to 2012 Calipari, not, you know, the 2022 Calipari. I think it's going to be something that we're going to see a guy who wants to add another title, and we're going to see a guy that, like it or not, he's going to retire here more than likely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that totally happening. Well, you got anything else? We kind of went over our hour limit. I mean, it flown by. I honestly went to commercial break way early. I looked at the timer on the screen, the timer on the soundboard's off. So kind of went a little early on our break. But you got anything else before we wrap up?
No, just the news will continue to roll in. So just keep it locked in.
That's right. Keep it tuned into us. I mean, we got you covered. Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok. We've even started throwing things on TikTok. Find us. We're broadcast on YouTube. But for Adam Hall, I'm Porter Hayes, brought to you by Believe, Bet Online, and we will catch you on Thursday.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.